Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
What's up, what's up, what's up? God damn, back again. Back again with another edition. And we outside. Tell me a joke, guideline of chasing a dream. And I am here with another dream chaser who has the young at heart, Audrey.
I mean, young in age as well.
Yes, that is right.
At heart can be true. But
oh, man, you know, you definitely don't act your age, especially when it comes to your comedy. And how long ago has it been since we've done that comedy camp?
I was thinking about this. I think we met 3 years ago.
Yeah. At a comedy camp.
Yes, created by Amber Loftus. The love of my life. Who's doing great. I still talk to her.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, we met when I was like a student at comedy camp for summer. Because a lot of cool kids go to sleepaway camp, and I was like, I'm going to do stand up in the Marigny.
Boom.
For my summer.
And that's how it starts, man. You got to get at the youth young, man. You got to get at them young. And it was a fun time because we were totally oblivious to what the hell we were about to do. I was just like, what? You want to teach comedy? Is that something? It's so crazy because it's like, is this something that you can teach like this? I mean, this is kind of what this is about now, like the guideline of chasing the dream. It's like, we can give a guideline to how you should do it, but everybody's their own comic, basically.
Yeah.
So
that's the interesting thing that I've had to approach. So I go to NOCA for drama, and I have a teacher, Lauren Malera, who I know you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm in the middle of applying to colleges for comedy. Like, they have comedy programs.
What? Do they really?
Yeah.
And oh, that's awesome.
There's few. There should be more. But it's interesting because I'm having to think more about the analytical side of comedy, and I'm loving doing it.
Yeah.
Especially since I'm kind of transitioning into doing more writing than I've ever done because I have nowhere to perform.
Yeah.
And I have to think about, like, oh, this is why jokes are funny.
Yeah.
And this is why it works, but also maintain my voice. And I think a lot of the reason I'm good at doing that, or as good as I think I am right now, transferring that skill is because, like, I learned how to do stand-up from a PowerPoint that was made by an elementary school teacher. And, like, it's amazing. And then I went on to make those PowerPoints and then teach them to people. Like,
boom. That's dope. Like, you like, it's so crazy because no one really, like, we, on our way up, we never got taught anything. We just seen what other people were doing, people that were already established in comedy. So, one of my people that I actually watched and looked up to was Dan Cook. Mm-hmm. So, like, from then on, I was just like, oh, that resonated with me, and that made me want to kind of emulate that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, since like watching him doing it, and then actually going back and watching other people, like, I've been there with the I've you know, been a fan of Richard Pryor's and all that, and everybody always gives the Richard Pryor and the Eddie Murphy's and shit like that. But what really stood out to me was Dane and how, like, descriptive he was.
Yeah,
and how he could just take you into his little realm of whatever story he's created and then go from there. And I was like, well, that seems really fun. And just the writing aspect of it.
Yeah.
Like, when it came to us teaching y'all this at this comedy camp, like, out of everybody that was there, and then what was his name? Cheese, 21 Cheese.
Oh my gosh, Mason.
Cheese with 21.
What did y'all call him? I actually saw him the other day.
Yeah, how's he doing?
I hadn't seen him in like probably 2 years, and he was just like walking by my house, and I was like, oh my god. And I like talked to him, and I was mom, and I was like, how are you doing? You still doing comedy? And he was like, absolutely, I am not.
Oh, okay.
And I was
okay,
like, cool.
Good. Yeah, I think it was like cheese whiz cheesecake or something like that. 21.
It was cheesecake because he had the sketch. He wrote a sketch that was about, oh my god, it was someone in a bakery. And the whole thing was just, like, he was this great baker, but then he kept on having noms like this. And that was, he was, what, in seventh grade, and that's still, like, the funniest thing
yes.
I've ever
Y'all had. Were hilarious. I didn't expect it to be as funny as it was, just because y'all were a lot younger. So it's just like, I don't really know how far this can go, but we've seen young people come up in comedy, especially, I'm blanking on his name. Of course I'm going to blank on his name. Oh, Lil JJ.
Oh,
Lil JJ was one of the first people that I was like, oh, snap, all right, little man's got chops. That's awesome. And so to be able to see y'all and actually, you know, give y'all insights on what we thought that comedy should be, and then for y'all to apply that from a teaching aspect into y'all actual stand-up, I was like, these motherfuckers are going to be beasts when they get older.
I hope.
Yeah, oh. There's no hope. Like, it's everybody that's really successful, like, take Floyd Mayweather, for example, mm-hmm. really successful because he been boxing since he was little.
Yeah.
So he had the fundamentals since he was little. It's ingrained in him. It's like second nature. He can't help but to be good.
All the,
you know?
Like, Olympians
yes.
have done it since they were, like,
since
3 years old.
Since they were tiny.
Yeah.
And so to see that y'all were already at this point just kind of established in comedy at a very young age.
Established.
That is, yes. Yes, because, like, going out there, I didn't expect y'all to have, to be able to even stand up in front of somebody and to deliver, like, especially you. Like, you have, because you're very dramatic. And,
yes.
And your writing is impeccable, and it's just like, okay.
Stop it. I don't know how to take compliments.
Hey, compliments are going to come. This compliments are going to come, especially when you get it. I hate taking compliments, and I never know how to go about them, but I understand that they're going to come. And I was just talking to Tony Frederick about this last night. Like, some of this comedy saves people's lives. Like, yeah. You're going to have somebody that comes up to you after, you know, you do a set, and you might want to do something new, but you're like, nah, let me just stick to this old stuff, polish it out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And in that crowd, somebody might have been there, and they might come up to you after your set and be like, yo, I was going to kill myself today, but apparently you made me laugh. So now I'm thinking about living another day. And it's like,
and I know that, like, sounds insane, but that, like, stuff happens.
Yes! Like, yes!
I've done, it's, I mean, not necessarily as dramatic every time, but I've had instances where I've been like, I'm having a horrible day.
Yeah.
And then I either performed or watched someone I care about do comedy.
Yeah.
And I've been like, there's so much cool in the world.
Yeah.
If we can laugh, I wrote a college essay about this, so this is so stupid. But, like, if we can all laugh, like, a laugh is predicated on the idea that we all have a base understanding of what is going on. We have an
yeah.
understanding, an agreement that this is what's happening, and that's our jumping off point for a joke. And if we can all laugh, then that means that we kind of all understand what's going on in the world in the same way. We can appreciate it together, and I think that's, like, everyone sucks. Everyone is so divided, and, like, for some people, for should be divided for valid reasons. They have opposing, like, some people suck for legitimate reasons, but, like, if I can be in a room and be like, y'all are laughing with me,
right,
then I can be like, oh, I know you don't suck.
Yeah.
I know you see the world the same way I do.
That was a more intelligent way of explaining that than I could ever have done. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yep. All that. That's how I feel inside.
Stop. I'm a racial woman. I cannot take compliments.
I can't. I couldn't put it into words like that. And you just formulated it so well. So where do you see yourself now in comedy?
I have not done on stage comedy. I did the math last night because I was thinking about it in 10 months.
Ooh, 10 months.
Because I haven't. Maybe I think that's the correct math. I'm good at comedy, not math. In January was the last time I was on stage doing comedy. I've done other video stuff for my school. I've done as much as I can. I've done a lot of writing. I've done TikTok, but that's, like, so stupid.
Yeah,
that's
how do you
for
feel
me.
About online, like, content and stuff? Like, how do you feel about the TikToks and the Instagrams and stuff like that? Do you really care for it, or?
I don't like being quick to dismiss it.
Yeah.
Only because I think that, like, I'm trying to be very aware that new forms of media and new ideas coming up are still valid because someone
yeah.
agrees with it.
Right.
If that makes sense. Like, I don't want to be that, like, 50-year-old who's like, those kids are watching too much MTV.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be like, oh, let me, this is something different. Yeah. Like, this is something different. Let me take it in. I think, like, I love making TikToks. They're fun. I don't think, I'm not going to say they're, like, my best work.
Yeah.
But, like, if at 10:30 at night, I'm like, let me make a joke about, like, a fart joke online for people to be perceived. Like,
yeah.
It's nice. It's a good replacement because I can't be on stage right now. But I think, like, there are some people who are really good at the medium. And, like, performing on stage in a stand-up, like, one-on-one format wasn't always, like, seen as good either. And wasn't always seen as something that was, like, proper. And I think I don't want to be quick to dismiss other people's content.
Yeah.
But also, like, mine's not the best.
Yeah. I always look at that. I'm at this point where I feel pretty emo about social sites. And I'm like, I revolt against the internet a lot. It doesn't seem like and this is just how I think. I don't really express it too much on the internet, just so people are like, are you okay? Because people do that, and it was like, you know, you got a solemn look, man. What's going on? You all right? And it's like, check on your strong friends. And it's like, I'm good. We're all right. I hate what the internet's doing, and I hate how it makes me feel, but I understand that this is another outlet that I probably need to go ahead and branch out to if I feel like, but I'm not sure how I should feel about it, just because it doesn't necessarily work for me like I want it to, and so I don't get the gratification from it like everybody else does.
Yeah.
So it's just like, should I give up or should I just keep going? And I have it to where it's just like, all right, just put out content, because basically you just kind of like, you're dating your stuff and you're putting it out, so like kind of like copywriting it, basically. But it's, I guess you could say it's a copyright, but it's not necessarily a copyright.
Well, you're getting to the joke before someone else can.
Yeah, yeah, and it's, I'm looking at it like, well, as long as you have it there, you have something for people to go look at.
Yeah.
Eventually, so like a catalog, basically.
Yeah.
I'm putting it up as a catalog, and yeah, that's how I like to see it as, just so I don't get messed up in my head to where I'm like, nah, this ain't working. Nah, it doesn't need to work now. It won't ever work now. Like I listen to a lot of LeVar Burton reads, and a lot of those books are like 20 years old. And so it's like, well, it won't be heard right away. And some of the people that he reads, they're dead. They're dead and gone now. And it's like, oh, okay. If this would have never came about, like if this was never a platform, I would have probably never heard of his books.
Yeah.
I would have never, you know, these short stories that he's reading. So it's like, yeah, just keep doing what I'm doing, and everything will eventually work itself out. You know, I have something for people to actually go and look over and be like, oh, this guy's been doing this. It's like, yes, this is what I've always been doing. So, you know, and it's strange. Like, I've wanted to know, like, where do you perform at down here? when it was time to, when we could perform.
I mean, before like COVID, I wasn't performing as much as I wanted to. I mean, there was a certain air in my head that was like, oh, you're doing school, so it's hard to branch out. But like, I'm 17 now, but when I was like, before that I was 15, 16,
right.
So I was being like, please let me into your bar to do comedy. Like, no one wanted, you've seen me at bars.
I've
seen
you at bars, it's
like,
so weird.
I can hold my own, it's convincing the owners I can.
Yeah.
And that it's not going to be, it's hard to sell yourself so that I'm not like, I'm going to be Audrey Gold, I'm going to do like a fun little thing for you. Like, I go up and I think I can hold my own against the other comedians, and I can perform. But then they're always like, no one's gonna watch. They're gonna watch this fucking kid like stand on stage,
yes.
Which I understand from a business standpoint. So as I'm getting older, I'm hoping I'm getting like, I'm 17. I look almost like, I mean, I look like I'm 12, but like,
I wouldn't have gave you 17.
but I feel like an adult and have a license that almost says I'm an adult, so
yeah.
I'm hoping.
I mean, you drove here, so
yeah, I did. I feel like such a big kid when I'm driving, and then but then I use the word big kid, and I'm like, oh, let's run. I'm doing something that has been a new running theme in my career, is I keep being asked Sunday school teacher as well. And I'm president of my youth group.
Okay.
Which, like, comedy, I think is so funny for comedy people.
Yes.
Here.
Oh, definitely. You're hosting everywhere you go.
I've been down here doing stuff for comedy, and then I see, like, someone with, like, ear gauges on. Like, I've known them since I was 12, and people are like, oh, you know this.
Yeah.
Person, and I'm like, oh, it's just, I've been around the New Orleans comedy scene for 4 years.
Yeah.
But, like, I keep being asked to do Jewish fundraisers, and I love it, but it's, like, my parents' friends.
Oh.
And I'm going up there, and I'm doing, like, real comedy.
Yeah.
But it's this weird feeling. I still feel like I'm that kid at, like, a dinner party who's like, and I'm going to show you a play I just wrote upstairs. you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
It's this weird, feeling, but yeah. I love doing it. Like, if a Jewish fundraiser is hearing this, please hire me.
Yeah, sure.
I love.
Who knows who hears what?
Yeah.
Because it's out in the ether, and I have people hit me up and it's like, oh, wow, I love it. I love your podcast and stuff. I'm like, you listen? All right, well, thank you. I mean, I ask people to comment and stuff, but people don't do that. People don't do that. And it's like, am I doing this? Am I doing this justice? Am I doing it correctly? As long as I put it out there, I know that somebody's going to hear it. And, you know, I just keep going.
That's kind of how I feel, especially with TikTok. Because I post, there was, like, a period of time where I posted every night, and it was,
Whoa. It
was just because I kept having ideas, and especially in quarantine, and I'm not being as social as I want, and I'm doing school, I'm completely remote, so I'm doing school at home, I have these ideas, and I have these, like, quips that come up, and I can't just, like, lean over to my friend and be like, let me tell you a joke about the teacher, like, I have to just kind of sit there and stew with it, and
right.
I keep on reading creativity through that, which is...
Yeah.
Which is nice, but also, like, torture, because I have no words to present it. So that's why I just keep on making things that are just my brain making sense of the world at 9:30 at night after doing.
And trying to make sense of the world nowadays is just like, do I have a grasp on this?
I don't.
Nope. It's a terrible grasp if you do try to get a grasp on what's happening in the world, because this is around election time.
Yes.
You know, all this is it's post-dated, so this is the present of the future, and it'll be the past by the time this comes out.
Are we allowed to say what day it is?
Yeah, sure.
It's Halloween, everybody.
It's Halloween!
Wow! Oh, happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween, people!
No, my friends were like, hey, you want to meet up and get breakfast on Halloween morning? I'm like, sorry, I'm recording a podcast. Like, that's the conversations my friends have to have. Where some people are like, I have cross-country practice. I'm like, sorry, I'm just...
Yeah.
On a podcast.
It's different nowadays. Like, so how many, like, what do your friends think about you doing comedy?
It's weird. I mean, it's the way it definitely looks to people who aren't in comedy or by theater kids.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like that when I'm in it. When I'm in it, it's like, oh, it's a whole different world. Because
right.
I go to school for theater at NOCA, so I'm very...
Those NOCA kids, boy. Those NOCA kids, something special.
I'm not. But, like, Pinnacle, the visual artists.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen, like, the fact that I go up and I'm like, and I'll be doing a monologue written by someone else. Like, feels... I'm like, I'll be reciting words someone else thought of. Thank you. Like, I'm very in that world a lot of the time. And then when I come do comedy, it's a completely different world. But my friends don't see it as that. They're like, oh, she's going to do... like, play rehearsal, and I know in their heads it feels like the same thing, but to me, I'm like, no, it's cooler, I promise.
Yeah,
I had to put in,
totally
like,
different.
So much more work for this, I promise. I couldn't.
This is just me.
This
is just me, and I gotta get in this myself.
And I think the thing that I love about comedy, an 18-wheeler is driving.
Right.
Please hold. The thing that draws me to comedy is, like, I'm not a very castable feature person. I'm, for those who haven't seen me, this is not a visual medium. I'm 5 foot, and I'm, like, big, and I'm loud, and I'm just, like, there's no roles for me written to be, like, other than just being, like, and I'm the maid who says that quip. Like, I've done three or four shows at Noka, and only one main stage show, and I've never played a woman.
What do you normally play?
I've played a man. I've played, like, an old British man. It was fantastic. Loved doing it. I had a great time doing it, but, like, they're not, like, a feminine woman. They're, like, this man. I've played The Law.
The Law?
The concept of law.
Wow.
Because I'm an artist. It was, and I've played the narrator of a piece that just, like, has no gender. Like, which is, like, chill gender. It means, like, nothing to me at the moment. But, like, I'm clearly, like, you can't put me in a box, which is fear.
No, which is, that's the way to go. Because you couldn't really put Roseanne in a box, and you see where she's at now, right? Yeah. And so it's just like, yeah, there's you can't put a label or a certain type of image to a comic, because a comic's gonna be a comic, and if good is good, like, it doesn't matter what they look like, as long as, you know, as long as they keep doing what they're doing, boom, they're gonna be successful regardless.
Yeah, and I think this is, so much of art is marketing, which, are you okay?
Yeah.
I'll keep talking.
Yes.
So much of art is, like, just marketing. Mm-hmm. And I got tired of being like, I need to market myself as the leader. I need to, like, dumb myself down to be the sidekick. I want to market myself and go to market my attributes instead of trying to fit into what some other writer has written. Which is why I've been doing more writing.
More writing, right.
I've been trying to, like, write roles for more queer women that, like, might not be, again, not the best. I am 17. Yeah. I'm not, like, the best writer yet. But, like, I'm trying to, like, write roles for people who are non-binary. I'm trying to just do everything I can, because I've been there, and I've been the person who's like, and now I gotta do a monologue as a 75-year-old woman, because those are what the funny monologues are for women. Like, and I think, and Noka's actually been really cool about it, especially Lauren Miller has been really cool about it.
Yeah.
I feel weird calling her Lauren. Yeah. I call her Miss Miller. But, like, I'm not.
It'd be weird if you told me if you called her Miss Miller.
I know.
I'm like, you mean Lauren?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I can't do first name. I have to do full name. Oh. Like, there's still, like, a stuff.
Yeah, but lots of comics do that, though. And it's actually helpful because it gets their name out, because there's a lot of Laurens out
there.
And, but if you, Lauren Miller, people know exactly what you're talking about. Just like Tom Segura, Bert Kreischer, like Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. It's like
first
Dave.
And last. Oh, yeah, no. It's like, what Dave are you talking about? Yeah, this one. Yeah.
Oh, you know the guy.
So, like, I get Tony Frederick, and it's like, oh, okay. So, yeah, it's a first and last name basis when you're a comic is always, it seems like the norm now.
Yeah. That was one of the weirdest things for me when I started doing comedy. I started when I was, like, 12, almost 13. So, and it was weird that I was, like, I called you Kyle and not, like, Mr. Smith. Which would have been so weird if I had done.
Very strange.
But, like, and I'm glad I didn't, but in my head I was like, are you great? Like, that's not what authority wants. Like, no, they're the teacher. Like, it felt weird, and it's still weird for me to be like, I'm an adult in this world. No, I'm not.
You're old enough.
I'm old enough to do it, and I'm old enough to market myself, which I'm glad, and I'm glad that, like, you see me that way, and the people who do give me a platform to do that, but it's still weird to, like, try to make myself believe it. And be like, no, you're a big kid, you're a big kid, you're not. Especially when I'm under 5 feet.
I feel you, like.
Yeah, you get it.
Yes, I was working at, doing electrical. I work out in, love it, New Orleans. working with the people that I work with, especially having masks on all the time that I'm working. I work with this older gentleman, and he's an older Hispanic guy, and so he doesn't really know I'm pretty sure he doesn't judge age as much. So he thought I was 18. I was like, yo, yo.
Yeah, the beard was covered.
Yeah, I'm like, man, I've been almost doing this for 18 years, dude. He's like,
oh, no.
I'm 35. He was like, oh my god, what? I was like, yeah, I've been doing this longer than you have, sir. And he was like, oh, wow. Oh, okay. Okay, so, yeah. You know, I think age is just a number. Not to go ahead and relate anything with R. Kelly, because he's a terrible person. But I think time is the concept instead of age.
Yeah, I agree.
Time and wisdom and how long you've been knowing something instead of like, oh, what's your age? That don't matter because people nowadays are old souls and they can be real, real young.
I mean, I'm especially like people who are my age and have grown up in this climate, like in this like political climate, like we're mature faster.
Yeah.
Like your parents can't hide you from the evils of the world.
Not now, not anymore. I mean, see everything's at your palm. Now.
I've never been alive when there wasn't a war happening.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. And the first time I knew that there was a president, because I didn't know who Bush was. Like, I didn't, like, know that guy existed.
So wild.
Like, I just, like, didn't know who he was. And then I was like, Obama's president. Oh, this is the first president, like, in my mind.
Oh, man. It never dawned on you that, like, that this is a monumental moment
now. My mom made sure I knew. At every moment was like, I want to make sure you know that, like, this is a historic moment and you're lucky to live through it. And I'm like, oh, yay. And I remember, like, the day after he was elected, our kindergarten teacher was like, tell us what's special about Barack Obama. And I was like, he has kids. And I thought it was so cool that he had kids because he has two daughters that are the same age distance as me and my sister. And I was like, isn't that so cool? Like, that's how I've grown up.
That's an attribute to know.
I mean, let's give it up for Sasha and Malia. Malia's birthday is on July 4th.
Uh-huh.
So on July 4th, me and my friends were like, it's not July 4th, it's Malia's 21st
it's
birthday.
It's Malia's 21st.
I refuse to celebrate America at this juncture. I'm going to celebrate Malia.
That's Harvard. Awesome. That's awesome.
But, like, we've had to mature faster. And I think I was a camp counselor for 2 years. I babysit a lot. I work with kids a lot. I kind of want to go into children's programming because I think growing up doing comedy, you really understand how children are seen as less than.
Yes.
And that's infuriating because, like, kids are smart and kids are not clouded with, like, disgusting ideals that have been imposed on them yet.
Very malleable. Whatever you teach them, they'll soak up. They don't think they're not listening.
And I think the beautiful thing is, like, especially with, like, elementary children, I had 5 and 6-year-olds this summer. It was great. It was during COVID, so I had to be like, keep your masks on, and they understood it better than adults. You just, like, don't wear masks to the grocery store.
But, like, it's so weird.
It was insane. They were like they'd correct the other kids and be like, they'd be like, water time is over, please put your mask back on. To other kids, and then they're like, some idiots were like, I'm gonna go buy milk without a mask. They're smart.
Yes.
Kids are not inherently stupid. They're inherently inquisitive, and they want to learn. Knowledge isn't used as a tool for anything other than understanding, and I think that that's what's so cool about kids, and, like, I think that's why we can't look down on kids. And especially, like, when I was doing comedy, it was so infuriating. People were like, it's kids' comedy. I was like, I think I'm putting in just as much effort as
Also, it might be kids' comedy, but we in a bar, sir. Definitely, like, when I saw y'all in that bar, I was like, this is gonna be weird. Just because, like, we are in a bar and they are definitely kids. They definitely look like kids. But to be able to come over and that gave y'all, like, the sense of New Orleans comedy of what it's going to be like if you do actually tend to pursue this even further. Because it's not easy. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. And you can tell, like, people, because y'all are a lot younger, people will give y'all that attention in a bar.
You could never get too comfortable with.
Exactly. Because you got your drunks and your winos that are coming in unsuspected. This is my regular place. And now we got children in here, and they're like, oh, no. I got to be 15 feet away from this. I signed a petition, and they said I can't be in this area. So,
I had to notify all the parents.
Right.
It's weird because you're very on either end of the spectrum of being liked. You were either people being like, oh, this is a gimmick that I kind of want to watch and see how it unfurls. And then you were on the other end that was like, I'm in a bar. I came here to get drunk, not watch children talk about their parents. Which, is a valid perspective. Like, I'm not going to get mad at you for being like, you weren't ready for a 14-year-old to talk to you. Like, that's understandable. I got the tail end of people who were, like, bitter towards me for just being there.
Yeah.
And then the tail end of people who were, like, impressed. And I think that was kind of just a crash course in the reactions you get in
comedy life right there.
Because just by being there, I wasn't I wasn't just like one comic. They were always like, and this child.
Yeah.
Like, which is a fun introduction. Like, and a factual one. But like, I was never just there as a comic. I was always there as the child comic. And I'm excited to like, wherever I go to college, I'm excited to go there and be like, no one knows me. And
yeah.
I'm technically, I will be a legal adult at that time.
And all those jokes that you have, to when you do go to certain places, you have the years and the experience on people that don't necessarily even know what they're doing yet. Like especially when it comes to you getting in the scene, even more out here, the people that are like 25 that are just starting, just thinking about it, that it just dawned on them that somebody told them that they were funny, they're gonna try to get on stage and they're gonna see you and you're a lot younger and they're gonna be like, well, if she can do it and I can do it, and you go up there and you smash it, and they go up there and they bomb. They're gonna feel real bad.
I hate that. That makes me sad.
It's fine. That's comedy. That's life in comedy right there. That's gonna happen.
I know. And that's a part of it. That's like one of the few parts. Because that's what infuriates me about the climate of arts, which is, I sound so pretentious right now, but I'm gonna say it.
No, I love it.
Like, yes, there's art, and yes, there's competition for slots. But I feel like every artist should just kind of, like, build each other up, because there can never... I truly think, especially with online, there's enough room at the top for everyone.
Right. No, you're good.
Everyone can fit if you're talented and people want to see what you're making.
Right.
There's room for you, and I hate the idea that some people are like, I need to knock this other person down a peg.
Yeah, and see, my travels that I've done going to LA, you see that a lot. And you don't, like, I say that especially for a starter comic, this is the best place. I haven't been everywhere, but I know for a fact that this is the best place to start comedy. For somebody to start comedy, just because you don't get knocked down here. Everybody's helpful, just like the comedy camp.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's helpful. Everybody wants to see somebody do well. We don't want to see you like, oh no, that person had a funny joke, but I want to be funnier because I want to make it on the TV screen and I want to be on a sitcom. So I got to take this person's joke and use it as my own because I can do it better.
Yeah.
It's like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just give him a tag, if anything? Why wouldn't you just help his set? You know, if you see something that you think is funnier or it can make it funnier, people's like, hey man, how about you try to use this tag? Or hey, how about you try to add this? Or do this with your face next time.
Which I always appreciated.
Yes.
Like, I was aware of the fact that, like, I was 13 in the bar.
Yeah.
Like, I loved getting advice from older comics because I was like, oh, that means they see me as a peer.
Yes.
They see that I have talent. And I think that that's something beautiful to be like,
right,
there's enough room at the top for all of us.
Instead of being seen as a competitor.
And I think the comics who were competitors, I don't know where they are now. I think they got, like, they had red X's on their backs.
Uh-huh.
People were like, I don't want to perform with you.
No.
You were mean.
Right, yeah.
And especially the one, a plus of being a kid is that you have to, like, hear drama. they weren't as, like, quiet about it. Because
no.
They were like, no, this kid's just talking to her mom. And little did they know, me and my mom were like, let's listen up.
Yeah.
Let's. What did Tommy do? Tell me everything. Like, that I did hear, like, little drama from around.
That's good, because there's so much you can soak in. There's so many aspects in being a comic. Opens your eyes to a whole bunch in the world, because not everybody, as comics, we observe more and we take in, we sit back and we, you know, because we try to find the funny in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, most people don't do that. Most people just kind of, like, they go about life, oh, that happened, okay, what's next? And it's like, nah, it's not a what's next. It's like, well, what can come from this? Like, what if this would have happened? Like, we always think of the what ifs instead of, like, oh, what's now or what's next? And it's an ongoing process in our head to where it's always something to where I'm always thinking, like, well, this was a very time-stamped moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what the funny can come from this. So, like, especially with this election and the whole pandemic, which everybody is so pissed about. Like, everybody's like, don't come back on stage with all these pandemic jokes. We tired of hearing them. But, you know,
what if there's more to be said.
There's a lot that's out there. And, I mean, that's what's going on in the world. And some people like to, most people like to talk about what's going on in the world. But it's also, people have a different aspect on just what you think is going to be said. So, to be able to look at things with the comics eyes, I think that those comics are like superheroes, you know. Like we have something that other people don't have. Like, we have a way to observe and the way to, like, I think, get out of danger when danger comes, before danger happens. Yeah, and I have that. I have, especially being small. I don't like being in crowds a lot. And so when I see something about to pop off, I'm like, oh, it looked like he about to fight that guy for some dumb reason. You know what? Let's get out of here.
Let's
sneak out the back just so we don't get caught up in nothing too serious that we don't need to be around. And that's that eye that we all, as comics, we all have. And that comes from being on stage, being able to read a crowd, you know, being able to adjust to the certain circumstances that's going on, because it's not always going to be the same every time. Once you get on stage, you're not always just going to be able to do your jokes. It's not always going to be this. Sometimes you're going to have to do crowd work just to go ahead and reel things back in and bring things around. How you are?
Oh, yeah, I did. I've had a few times where I've been like, I'm just going on stage and doing crowd work. I really like doing crowd work. I think of it as Robin Williams-esque, but it's nothing like that. But this one time, I was doing, I'm trying to remember the context of this joke. I think it was just me being like, I'm going to pull people from the audience and make fun of them. And I think the setup was me being like, I'm a freshman in high school, and I got to roast people. And that's like, I think that was the setup, and I would never do that now, but I know I would never do it. But I was like, and as a freshman in high school, I have to roast people a lot, and I'm bad at it. Let me pull people on stage and roast you. And this one guy came on stage, and he was like, blackout drunk. He was belligerent. And he was like, and I think I was like, what do you do for a living? That's my freshman year voice. I was like, what do you do for a living? And he was like, I don't remember what he said, but he said something. And I made fun of him. I don't remember what I said. And then he sat back down. And I was like, thank you for coming out. Thanks for being a good sport. Your time is up. Please sit. And then he came. I was about to go to the next person. And then he came back up to the stage. And he was like, I'm not going to take this from someone who is 3 feet tall. Oh. And I was like, mind you, I am 4'7". Like, I just had to be like, yeah, okay,
had
like,
to roll
he's right.
With the punches now. I was like, just like, oh, let that roll off the shoulder.
Yeah, I just had to keep going. And then I was like, who does that? It's like, I know what'll add to this moment. Me yelling at someone on stage.
The people that want to be funny, but have never had that outlet.
I've never had, like, this is going to sound so mean, but, like, to go on stage takes a lot of courage, and I don't mean to, like, toot my own horn, but, like, it really does, and to heckle is not the same amount of courage.
Nope, not at all.
And I think people try to be like, oh, wasn't that cool of me? Wasn't that brave of me to speak out? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing that people don't understand, especially when it comes to comedy. Like, yeah, we've crafted this. Like, we worked on this. Like, we're not just coming up here with a blank mind thinking that, oh, we just about to be funny because we're funny.
Yeah.
Nah, we've actually written jokes so we can come on stage and pretend. Once we found our voice, it seems like just a normal conversation, so it doesn't seem as if we're just, you know, up there riffing. No, like, we have something formulated, and that's why when a heckler comes, you throw that all off. But good comics are able to go ahead and combat that and, like, go ahead and volley that right back at them. And hecklers, usually when they get volleyed back at, because we have the microphone, we're going to get heard more than they are. Like, they're never prepared for it, and they get shut down. So they don't understand, like, if you want to try to bring a heckler to the stage, they are not prepared, because most people don't like to hear their own voice.
Yeah.
Especially if they're going to come, especially if it comes to a mic. And I've had this instance once where some people were at my show, and they did not pay to be there.
Nope.
But they were in there, and they were finished eating. And it was like, all right, it's time for y'all to go. I'm not going to be rude or nothing like that, but, you know, don't be rude while you're still in here not paying for this show.
Yeah.
And they were very rude. And so as they heckled, I shot back at them And I was like, hey, this is what I do. I hurt your feelings, okay? You don't want to do this, okay? I do this for a living, sir.
I play this game better than
yes,
you.
Yes, I'm pretty good. My batting average is pretty high. So I mean, you might be the school yuck yuck guy, but no.
You might be a really funny budget analyst.
Yeah,
but I'm up
we're
here.
Not in school no more. You might be funny around the piers, around the water cooler, but yeah, they just agree with you right now. This is what I do, and I hurt your feelings, and I hurt his feelings, and I hurt his old lady's feelings, and then I hurt the whole group that he was with as a collective, and then he got so mad because his feelings were hurt that he decided to rush the stage. And it's like, yeah, see, there you go, because I do this, sir. Don't think that you're going to be funnier than I. Right, yeah, I tried to let you know. Like, now these words that I told you, they hurt you to your core.
Yes.
Now you want to fight. Like, but they just some words. It's not like I talked about your mama or nothing like that, you know? So it's like there was no need for you to be this way. I told you to leave, and you didn't want to, so now I had to disrespect you.
I have a question.
That's rude, sir. Why? Damn, you make it.
Oh my
gosh,
did they not plan on someone recording a podcast at 11 a.m. on Halloween?
Come on.
Do you think comedy, like doing stand up particularly, but improv kind of more like this, has made you a more judgmental person?
Yes. Yes, very much so.
And I think I try to be more aware. I think what it does is I am primed to be a meaner person now.
Yeah.
So now I just kind of in the back of my brain have to be like, save this for later. Be like, there's an appropriate time to be mean, but that's not now.
Yeah.
And because I can, in my head, I'm like, you can pinpoint this person's faults.
But that's good though, because that judgment lets you know if you like to be around that person or not. Like, if this person is going to be a good friend, or if this person is just going to be real icky, and it's I definitely, like, you get that judgment was good to have in LA, just because, like, I'm really good at reading.
Everyone in LA is.
Oh my god, yeah, the energy out there, not to discourage you from LA itself, like, please go out and adventure on your own, but just from my experiences and from what I deal with and what I prefer to deal with coming down here, like, it's Southern hospitality.
Yeah.
Up there, you don't get none of that. So, you know, it's easy to judge somebody as soon as you see them, especially how they present themselves, how they come off, if they come off as arrogant or if they come off as, yeah, I do this and I do that, and I've done this. Like, for instance, there's this guy. We were supposed to be shooting something. This chick, she wanted to shoot a little sketch video or whatnot. And I was like, all right, cool, I'll come. I have camera equipment and all that. I'm not a videographer or nothing like that, but I like to shoot whatever I shoot. So, you know, I have the equipment because I do this as well. But, you know, I don't go to school for it. She also had another person that also had camera equipment that, you know, I want two camera angles, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. We get up there, this other guy, I go up to him, and he's like, hey, man, what you shooting with? I'm like, hi, I'm Kyle, you know?
Nice to meet you, sir.
Like, let's get formally acquainted first, but, you know, that's the first rule, right? I was like, oh, okay, I like how you approach me, but all right. I shoot a DSLR, you know, and a Canon. He's like, oh, me too. He's like, so how long you been shooting for? I was like, you know, I mean, here and there, I don't really, you know, it's whenever I feel like doing something. He was like, oh, that's nice. Well, I've been shooting for this long, and I go to school for it. I'm like, alright.
You want extra credit?
Yeah. Is this going on your resume or something, sir? Like, it doesn't really matter to me. I'm just out here helping a friend. Like, why can't you look at it like that instead of being like, well, this is what I do, and I'm going to school for it.
Like,
and I'm
actually saying, you know, I'm more correct.
Yeah.
I immediately
I judged him, and I was like, oh, you are a terrible person, and you think you're trying to put yourself to where it is if you feel as if you might be better than me. And I feel that way all you want, but, you know, you're not a person that I'm going to hang around with after this.
Yeah.
Like, we can't be friends now after this, especially this is how you're looking at the situation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is, all right. So from then, it just, it just got real dumb in all of my all of my thoughts and all of my prejudgments of this person were so correct. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's exactly why I wouldn't hang out with you. And you're young. You know what? Mm-mm. Nah, yeah. I know some young people that wouldn't hang out with you, sir. And it's getting to the point to where I might want to fight you. I might want to fight you just because I don't like what you're doing.
And that man's here today. He's holding a boom mic and he's towering over us.
I dismissed the hell out of him. I was like, yeah, you're coming up with terrible ideas.
I have so much more respect for horrible people who admit they are horrible people. Yeah. Who are like, I hate people. And admit it to me. Than people who are like, I'm the best. And then suck. I'd rather you be like, walk into a room and be like, I bought this camera from Goodwill yesterday. Yeah. I was told I'd get $20 if I showed up. And then I'd be like, awesome, we'll figure this out together.
Let's figure it out.
Then like, I got a school for it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so gross.
We use the same camera. That's like so funny because my stuff like looks better. Like, that's what I would never invest
my... I got lights and these angles that I know. You know about the fucking Pythagorean
angle?
Theorem, right? It's like, really? This is what we're doing.
Just took an ICT, so
when you
said
Pythagorean
theorem,
yeah.
I was like,
"Eastern
supposed to be."
You're right. Ain't got nothing to do with lights. Got nothing to do with the lighting. Oh man, it's just yeah.
I wish I did more comedy and more stand up when I was studying for the ACT. This is so stupid, but it's because I spent like 2 months where all I did every weekend was take a practice ACT, which was disgusting.
Oh,
hated doing it.
I hate big tests.
And now they're all my schools are just optional because of COVID. So that was pointless. But I thought of, like, through that time of being, like, so immersed in one topic, I thought of so many jokes. No one would have thought they're funny. Like,
yeah.
No one in my audience would have been like, that's a funny observation about
right.
the standardized test high school juniors take. But, like, I thought of so many jokes, and I was like, there's nowhere for me to put this right now.
Yeah.
There was a certain point where I read the word act ACT, and I was like, this is when I need to do comedy. This is when it's too much. It's overrunning my brain.
Right. I so wish, like, every time the joke comes home, every time the joke comes home, I can't. I haven't been on stage in, I'd say, about maybe 9 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, long enough to have a baby. And for that baby to be like, I'm doing comedy! You know, so I definitely, it is detrimental to my life as a comedian. And I'm itching for it to get back on stage because I have so much stuff written, so much new stuff that I know when I do go back to the stage.
It's not going to be topical.
Not even that. I'm not going to do that new stuff. Like, I'm going to, because I ain't been in the water in a minute. That water going to be cold. Let me just get my feet wet again. Let me get them laughs back in me. Because I got stuff that people ain't, that I've worked on, that wherever I go, people haven't heard. So, and if I've had to get to this, I've had to get over this, this thought pattern that, oh, I need to keep creating. And once I finish with this, then I got to go on to the next one. But, you know, you can keep polishing that old one until it's sharp, sharp, sharp.
Yeah.
And then what I've been doing lately is taking some of the old stuff and taking some of the new stuff and just mashing them together like a little comedy sandwich. And it's like, oh, this fits with this. And the reason why this didn't hit as hard is because it needed this to go ahead and go together. And I'm like, and now it just opened up a whole new realm for my comedy, a whole new lane. And it's like,
and now you're like, I want to do it.
Yes, yes.
Now you're like, now let me show you the cool thing.
Yes,
I know.
Oh, I'm so excited. I've gotten so excited all over again. It's just, I'm just now waiting to get back to the stage.
Get
my feet wet again.
That's how I've been feeling with writing, because I'm doing a lot more playwriting, even though I don't know what I'll ever do with them. I'm doing a Zoom play of, but, like, it's still not, like, I'm performing on stage in the same way.
Yeah.
But I get, like, infuriated in the process, and I'm like, I've written this, it's good, and then I'm like, and I think of a new joke, and then I'm like, well, now I gotta restructure the whole thing to make the joke. But, like, it's weird transitioning from doing, like, and here's a joke about my family, here's a joke about my, like, epithets. I don't know why that's my go-to. But, like, here's here's a like a fart joke in that. It, going back to me, like, here's a linear story that makes sense. And I think not being able to get that instant gratification of, like, my joke was funny for other people has made me kind of, it's made me, well, I'm rolling my eyes because I
can't. That was a weird way to roll your eyes just now.
What did I do?
I think one stage.
Yes. That happened. I have weird eyes. It's my.
Holy shit.
It's broken. I do that when I'm, like, stressed. I, like, look. I mean, this isn't going to be entertaining for them, but, like, I can make my eyes flip.
Oh, wow.
Because, I think I just scowl so much that they're broken forever.
That is really weird. Because usually people's eyes move simultaneously. Yours moved individually.
Yes.
Yeah.
I scared my campers with that. I'd be like, they'd be like, you're not. I'd be like, you're not listening. Do you want like a monster? And I'd be like, yeah, they're broken.
I'm broken.
I see fine. They're just like. I was like 11 or something, and I was talking to a kid who was like a year older than my sister. So in my head, like, that's the pinnacle of being. And then my eyes just like twitched, and I winked with one eye while I was like talking to him. And he was like, just wink at me. And that was the worst moment of my life. I was like, no, I didn't. I swear I didn't just wink at you in the middle of the conversation. I was so sorry. He was like, it's fine. It was just weird that you winked at me. And I was like, no, it's just how it happens.
These eyes.
Yes.
Oh, that's hilarious.
How are we on time?
We have 50 minutes.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, right?
Ooh.
That's how it goes usually. That's usually a good point to be like, great. Now, what I'd like to ask before we wrap it up is, how are you on? Because you're 17. You're a fan of Batman. You've been anything comic like?
Sure. Like comic books?
Yeah.
I know enough. Say what you're gonna say, okay. And let's see how I react.
Okay. I usually like to ask people if you had to embody a Joker, like one of the Jokers, which one would it be? How do you know most of the Jokers that are out there?
I just know. I know a little. I don't.
You can pick Harley Quinn or anybody that you.
Oh my god, feminist! I like to have everything that Harley Quinn is bad, but we're gonna dress up for the next week. That was my favorite part of Scott Suicide Squad. That everyone was like, this movie's garbage, and they're like, I'm leaving us all alone. I was like, isn't it so cute and quirky? And I'm like, what? Like,
you
got the war
booty
shorts and walk around with a mallet, 10 points. But like, I like. This feels like a stupid answer. I really liked Keith Ledger's.
Yes.
I liked his Joker because I liked the acting of it. And I think that he's kind of just like, probably because I saw myself in the fact that he was like, I can do other stuff besides being pretty boy.
Yeah.
And then, because I just know the background of it more. I don't think I've ever seen Dark Knight, but I know like the background of Dark Knight because that's the kind of fun gal I am.
A dark, sadistic type.
He's like, I've seen clips and he's so, I just think, that's something I kind of identify with, which going up to someone and being like, please give me a chance. I know you think of me one way, but I can be this other way.
Yeah.
And I can be the Joker, even though you're used to me being like the guy in 10 Things I Hate About You. And I think, a lot of people see me and they're like, oh, there's this like tiny, short, fat little Jewish girl. Like, she's fun. And then I come up and I'm like, I have words that are smart, I promise.
Yeah.
And I identify with having to fight.
Yeah, he didn't care for the money. He was just all in for the gag. And it's like, oh, yeah, he's a very dark. The Joaquin is another a dark Joker as well. Basically, he just kind of wanted to be seen. He wanted to be noticed. It wasn't for the fame or anything like that. It was just for him to be recognized. And yeah. So yeah, that works. We can you can definitely go with that. I probably need to.
Yours.
Well, I like the Joaquin.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that one. No one cares for the Jared Leto. My dad said he was the old Joker, the original Joker from the Batman, because it was basically just the jokes for him. Yeah. Basically, just he just wanted people to laugh.
Didn't he, like, I didn't...
The Adam West Batman, the old Batman.
Yeah, I know that from... but didn't Jared Leto, like, leave, like, pig carcasses on set or something, and he was like, I'm going method. Wasn't he?
No one cares for Jared Leto.
Like, that movie was horrible. I've also such fun in theaters. I don't see superhero movies in theaters often, because this is a horrible answer. They give me panic attacks when I see them. Because they're so loud and it's so high stakes, and I, like, feel the tension.
Oh my god.
I saw Endgame on when it came out, and I literally had to leave in the middle and call my mom.
Wow.
I was like, this is too much stress. The world's gonna end.
But, like, it is a bit much.
That didn't happen in Suicide Squad because it was so bad. Like, that's a mark of a bad movie if I don't ever because I was literally like, I didn't know what was happening, and I was like, there's no story structure as much. Like, look, Will Smith and Harley Quinn are just
so
cool.
Yeah, basically, you just get these two high name actors right here, show them a lot, don't really worry about everybody else, and then put this guy in there.
Also, was it? Am I remembering that Viola Davis was in that?
You know what?
There was, like, some really high name actress that was, like,
I think
you're
so. Yeah,
talented.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Yeah, I think she was, like, the commissioner or something like that.
Yes!
Yeah. Yeah, basically, it was just like, Will Smith, you shoot things, because we like when you shoot things. And then, when y'all are together, y'all make a good couple. So, we gonna film that Suicide Squad. It's like,
in theater near you! And then Will Smith was like, I'm done, I'm gonna go be Genie now.
Yeah.
For more money, and equally bad.
Yeah. I was like, this is, you could,
I mean, a lot of people are like, but who could have been the modern Robin Williams? And I'm like, what about no one? What about not making that movie for money?
Not doing it at all.
They're
yeah.
like, no one's going to live up to Robin Williams' genie. And it's like, exactly. Please don't make this film.
You don't need to do this. Then they made him real, and then they made him blue. And it was like, what are we doing here? Like, the dude that played Aladdin, he is mad because he ain't got no more roles. It's like, well, I mean, what you expected to do after that, sir? Like, yeah, it's just like, what are you, that Slumdog Millionaire is not, it's not here anymore, so unless y'all making more movies like that, Bollywood danced their way out of the limelight, and it's just like, sorry.
I mean, I do not know enough about that to comment.
Oh.
I just know about Aladdin and Aladdin.
Yeah.
I feel like Aladdin's a prime example of, just because we have the technology to do something doesn't mean we have.
You got overshown by Will Smith. Like, you got in the movie with Will Smith, but Will Smith was the Robin Williams type character, supposedly, but he gave it his Fresh Prince spin to it, and it's just like, I guess, you know, because he can, it didn't hit me it was like, why y'all choosing Will Smith, like, for what? Like, I don't get why they decided to do that and decided to remake it live action.
I think, regardless of who they cast, it would have felt like a cash grab.
Yeah. Basically.
There's, like, because I have thought about it. I've been like, well, who do I want them to do? Like, I don't know, like, John Mulaney. Like, no. Like, that would have been funny. And then I literally would have been like, this is such a clear. I've been like, John, you're selling out. I don't know why that was my go-to. Isn't he hosting SNL tonight? That's why.
Is he?
I think he is.
Oh, man. John Mulaney has gone through so much.
I
love him as a stand-up.
Love
him. Oh, my God. His joke writing is amazing.
He made me want to do comedy.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. See, that's what I probably... What comic would you say? Boom, you give me John Mulaney. But that would probably be a better sense instead of like, what Joker... Just because it's tell me a joke. And it's like, we don't really tell jokes. It's like, well, the Joker. And so... But, yeah, John Mulaney, and it sucks so bad that he had the show... This is not going to hit for everybody, because your shit on stage, it should be just on stage. Don't bring this, even though you brought fucking Martin Short, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, Martin Short wasn't that, wasn't it? Also, Nadine Tadrad, who is amazing, was in it. Because she was on SNL for, like, a little bit. And she's still doing stuff, and she's great. And I know that they had some writers who were cool. And everyone else in the cast was cool. It was just, like, it was so clearly trying to be Seinfeld.
So
and I also don't love Seinfeld.
So it was so dry. I prefer to watch this over The Big Bang Theory, but...
I mean, but that's a low bar.
Yeah.
For, I feel... This is, oh my god, wait, who plays Sheldon? I love him.
Oh, I love that.
Jim Parsons. I feel like so him. Bad for Jim Parsons. He's immensely talented. He's in a movie on Netflix that was off of a play that was on Broadway called Boys in the Band. It's so good. He's such a talented actor, and he will forever be Sheldon.
Yeah.
And that's... I'm sure he has enough money to fuel his artist ambition now, and then no one's gonna, like, everyone's walking up to me like Bazinga, right?
Nah,
like, I just talked about homosexuality in the 1960s. Like, please don't say Bazinga to me. Like,
and young Sheldon. Listening to Sheldon got me around to young Sheldon. I hope he doesn't come try to sell this right now, because we're in the middle of a podcast. Not at all, sir. We good. We are interviewing right now. All right, and this has been the Maniac. This has been Tell Me a Joke, the Guideline of Chasing the Dream. We are out in New Orleans where things in New Orleans happen, man. And thank y'all for listening. This has been Audrey.
Audrey Gold, bye.
Thank you, Audrey.
All right,
and we out. God
Woo-hoo.
Damn. Oh.